Listen, I can't give any more information. But I fear I may have girl boss a bit too close to the sun.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
How do I win in this one?
You get whatever I'm selling.
And what is that?
I'm not sure, but I'll get back to you on that. Can you tell me that at some point in the future, if I determine what exactly I am selling, you may or may not sign my contract?
Sure, dude. Whatever.
Closed! Win-win!
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Aw, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and wonderful co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you.
And best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. What is the strangest thing you have ever eaten? Strangest thing.
God, that's right off the bat.
Yeah.
That question.
Well, I ask one every time I open up the microphone. You need to be prepared. like a receiver on a football team with a blindfold on. Just waiting for that ball to come at you straight in your face.
I mean, maybe octopus, which seems very mainstream now.
Pulpo?
But at the time, it was different for me, being a girl from the South. And my parents did not like sushi at all.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay.
And so it was very exotic for me.
So I told you I ate live octopus.
Yeah, oh, God.
Oh, that's bull's testicles, octopus, heart. I've had heart, which we go to this restaurant here in town that's like a tapas restaurant.
It serves heart.
They don't serve heart, but they served heart to us.
What?
So I go in there.
Whose heart? What heart? What?
Beef heart.
Okay.
Beef heart. So at least it was beef heart, right? It wasn't
like
cow heart, like, you know, chicken heart or anything like that.
It was cow heart.
It was. I'm pretty sure it was cow
that's
heart.
Beef.
I don't know. I didn't. Yeah, that's true. What's that? Cow heart? What's that? I can't quite get that register for that voice yet because I'm still dealing with the pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
So just bear with me. The funny voices will come back, but I'm still recovering from a bout with walking pneumonia. So I go into this restaurant with Astrid very early on when we came back to the United States from our travels in Europe. We go to this nice tapas restaurant downtown that just opened. And we get in and we get a nice table with Raphael and Chelsea. And we sit down. And one of the managers is running around the restaurant. And I recognize him and then he recognized me. He is a guy that I worked at Chili's with. Remember that Chili's? Rochambeau, the kids' cup?
Yeah.
Can I get a kids' margarita?
Yeah.
Rochambeau, let's get a little blow. And he's a guy who worked there with us back in the day, like
he's
the crazy
still in
day.
The biz.
He's still in the biz. He's running this really nice restaurant. I thought for sure the guy was going to kick me out of the restaurant because I was just kind of a general shithead back then. I probably did him wrong in some way, shape, or form. But no, he was very nice and accommodating in this restaurant. So he says, Brian, so it's been so long. So good to see you. Let me handle the appetizers. Let me handle the appetizers.
Here's a bottle of Chianti.
Here's a bottle of Chianti. Chianti Classico and some stale bread. Would you like some 3-day-old octopus? He's still alive. With all its floppy little tentacles. So I'm like, oh, okay, so how nice of you.
Yes.
How nice of you, right? Of course, you don't refuse. So he did. He brought over a bottle of wine, really nice, whatever, Spanish shitty wine he gave us, Rioja or whatever. And then he brings out a couple appetizers. He's like, you know, risotto balls or whatever they're serving these days.
I like risotto balls.
Then he comes over and he puts a plate down. And it looks to me, I thought it was foie gras.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, wow, so nice of you, foie gras. I don't really like foie gras, but I was about I was going to eat it just because, right? Because he brought it. I don't like eating foie gras in principle. I don't like the way that foie gras is made. But I digress. So I'm like, oh, man, you didn't have to put foie gras out. And he's like, oh, no. This is not foie gras. This is even better. And I'm like, what is this? And he goes, it's beef heart. And Astrid nearly lost her lunch. She was like, that she had like an audible gasp. Like, and me and Rafa were like, wow, cool, beef heart. You know, Rafa would probably eat the heart, the beating heart right out of a cow if it was part of some like yogatic ceremony or something.
Would,
yeah, to recycle life or some shit.
He would.
But I was just saying, wow, like I'm going to have to fucking eat this now.
Yeah.
Tasted exactly like you would expect it to taste. Like iron. Like you were literally chewing on a like an iron bar. Like, or you had cut yourself and you were sucking the blood just to keep it from bleeding.
Yeah.
It was gross. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like the texture. I didn't like the taste. It was not for me.
Jokes on you.
But jokes on me. The guy did hate me, it turned out.
Exactly.
Turned out the guy did think delicacy. I was an asshole. Yeah, it's a delicacy. Not really. So, bull's testicles, I thought were okay. Rocky Mountain oyster, fried up. Those were okay. Baby octopus, probably the strangest thing I have ever eaten because it was alive, it was a baby octopus, and it was still wiggling all the way down my throat. By the way, I watched a recent cooking show where they went to a restaurant in San Francisco, not the same restaurant, but they had the same thing, the baby octopus alive. And that, to me, was the most disturbing thing I've ever eaten.
Yeah, I'm okay on
but
that.
There is a picture running around the internet right now that I think is going to take the cake, no matter what you say you ate, unless it's human flesh, which I'll get to in a second. There's a picture coming out of Australia, Adeline, I think, and it's a security camera footage of a guy going down an escalator with a... Imagine you go to Kroger, Publix, wherever you go, Walmart to shop, and you get those chicken wings in that big tub, that you know, sealed tub, and there's like 24 chicken wings in there.
The pan, like the tin pan?
Yeah, like the plastic pan.
Okay.
That they put them in so you can buy them. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to the place and you buy them, and there they are in that little plastic little holder and all, you know, wrapped up. This guy is eating the chicken wings right out of the plastic container, not cooked. Not cooked.
That's just dangerous.
Look at this picture. Morgan, I'm going to ask you to find this picture in the New York Post and put it up there. Do you see that? He is literally eating chicken wings. That is a
do not want to think about.
There's a great page called I Did It Drunk. And this is the kind of thing that would go on I Did It Drunk. But that doesn't top the weirdest thing that I found. So this got me on a whole kick about what people are eating, weird things that people are eating. Yeah. And we'll get to that. There's an episode
uncooked
I'm putting
chicken
together.
Chicken is just dangerous. So
it's so dangerous. And how could it possibly have any flavor that you would want to eat?
No. Ugh.
To be honest with you, the older I get, the less I like chicken. Mm. I'm going to be honest with you. Unless it's like ramen noodle
be
chicken
honest.
Bouillon. Yeah. Let me be honest. Anytime I say I'm being honest, you could pretty much be sure I'm bullshitting you. Anytime someone prefaces something with, let me be honest.
I've got a few go-to chicken dishes, but...
Is one of them raw?
No.
Chicken? No.
None
Jess
of
never
them.
Had raw chicken?
No.
So this got me on a whole kick going down this rabbit hole of weird things that people are eating. I have an episode coming up. I'm putting it together on weird foods and people eating weird foods and preparing weird foods. But the strangest thing that I found, a video that we'll showcase at a later episode, is someone that ate their own knee cartilage. Mm. It was given to them after a surgery. They cooked it up and they made a bolognese out of it and they ate it, the whole thing.
Why?
Because they're fucking lunatics. I've seen people eat their toes and their people eat their, like, things.
You've
something
seen get, people eat
yes,
their
it's
toes.
It's online. Yes, they cook it up. They get it. They get
Why?
It amputated. They take it home. They cook it up.
Why do they?
I guess because they decide this is the one chance I'm going to eat get to eat human flesh. Let me taste it.
Why did they get their toes cut off?
Oh, lots of people get toes cut off for lots of reasons.
But aren't they diseased?
Probably.
Oh, God.
Probably. I told you my friend got that spider bite and then she had to get her whole foot amputated. Ugh. Yeah, it's diseased. It's diseased. It's gross. If God wanted us or the universe wanted us to eat human flesh, it would taste a lot better. I don't know what it tastes like, but I'm assuming it doesn't taste good based on some videos that I saw.
I mean, everything tastes good fried.
That's true. I mean, you could fry up a thumb and probably make it taste good, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could fry up a thumb and make it. It's like Rocky Mountain oysters when they're fried. They just kind of taste like weird textured chicken balls that are fried, right?
Mm.
And they were breaded too. So it was just like eating a fried whatever.
Chicken balls.
Chicken balls. You never had a chicken ball?
Mm-mm.
Never had a chicken meatball?
No, I thought you meant their balls, like their testicles.
Oh, no, I've never had a chicken testicle. Though I'd go
Do
for that
have
too.
They testicles.
I don't know.
Well, chicken.
Don't you just stick your finger up a chicken's butt to figure out whether or not it's a male or female? Or do you just wait until they lay eggs?
We're going off in a whole direction here.
I know, but I want to know now. It's like dolphins don't have... The dolphins
Most
have,
of them, hens are female. And then the rooster. Eggs. I don't know if a rooster has balls.
I think we should... If someone knows whether or not a rooster has balls, we could Google it, but we'll just wait for you to reply 6 weeks later. I think somewhere there's testes somewhere. They may just not be hanging out.
Okay.
But that would be more interesting if a chicken rooster did have balls and it was walking around with like a big old sack of balls. I just read about the guy who had the world's biggest testicles. Did you see that article?
No, I didn't.
Guy who had the world's biggest testicles got a disease of the testicles.
I'm not being served the same articles on my newsfeed that you are.
No,
apparently.
You got to be in a really weird place to get into Brian territory. You should see the stuff that gets served up to me. Holy shit, Chrissy.
I can only imagine. Yeah,
I am just, unfortunately for those who have to share a computer with me, I really go down some weird rabbit holes. And I think, yeah, I think I would be arrested if someone came in here and looked at my thing. I wanted to address something real quick, because I think this is interesting, and I think I've done this before a couple of times. So I wanted to address this. What is, when you break up with a guy, when you've broken up with a guy, how do you go about doing that? It's like a bit, it's like, you know, fuck you all, I'm never going to talk to you again.
It depends on the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I've been cheated on, I'm like, fuck you.
Okay, if you've been cheated on.
See you later. But, you know, if it's like another breakup where it's delicate, they like you more than you like them, and, you know, it's time to just end it, it's tough. The last breakup I probably had, like, we went out to dinner, and I had the conversation.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's not. But I still want to be friends.
Still want to be friends. Yeah, anytime you hear that, it's, you might as well.
You're great. It's just, I'm going in a whole nother direction. It doesn't include you in it.
I've been at those dinners. I've been at those dinners where someone's telling me the same thing. It's a good thing because you're in a public space, right? So the reaction has to be a little bit measured, or you would hope that it would be measured because you're in a public space.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, anytime someone says the word friends in a conversation involving your relationship, it means they don't like you anymore, right? And that's a tough pill to swallow.
It is.
And then you have to, do you wait till the end of dinner or do you do it at the beginning and then let the dinner kind of drag on?
Oh, no. You have to ease
right at
into
the end.
It.
Yeah, right at the end.
Well, maybe not.
Like, this has been a wonderful...
At the end, but as you're maybe eating the meal.
I can just see the guy that you're dating. He's like, I'm so going to get that ass tonight. I'm going to get that ass. Oh, yeah. I took her to a nice restaurant. Fancy. I'm even going to pick up the bill. And Chrissy's like, well, this has been a wonderful dessert. What do you think about us being friends?
It's tough.
It is.
But you do it. But you do it because I can't stand the ghosting that is happening now.
No, I don't think I shouldn't say this. I probably haven't ghosted anybody. Probably. I actually remember I was dating two women at the same time and I had to tell one of them goodbye. That was a tough conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I did it in the car. They came over to my house. And the other woman was in my house.
Were you driving or were they
driving? No, they were driving. They came over to my house.
That's a bold move.
Yes, she just like texted on the way over and she was like, I know. She lived in fucking Coweta County at the time. I mean, you and I were friends during this. Yeah. She was in Coweta fucking County. It took her an hour to drive into town.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she's like, oh, I'm right around the corner. I thought I'd stop by. And I'm like, what? And then 2 seconds later, my gate calls and I'm like, fuck. But I'm with the other woman in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I literally had to run out to the car and I had to say, listen, I know that we've been carrying on this relationship. I'm in the middle of sex with another woman in my apartment. I gotta let you go.
Oh, Brian.
But I would say that 9 times out of 10, I've tried to be straight on with it. But I think I'm guilty of the following that's happening a lot, apparently, which is quiet dumping. And that means that you don't quite tell somebody you're dumping them, but you just kind of slowly but surely move away from them. You know what I'm saying?
Or if you don't make any noise while you're dumping.
Yes. Or if you start falling asleep during sex.
Quiet dump.
Quiet dump.
You know what I mean.
Oh, I do know what you mean. Yes, a quiet dump. Hey, honey, have a good day at work. I just finished my shit in here. I'm on minute number 43. I got about another 13 minutes left. While you're at it, do me a favor and take all the clothes that you have in my room with you and leave the key. Bye. Talk to you later. I think that this is happening is a thing now that people are talking about on the internet that they're getting quietly dumped or they are doing the quiet dumping.
Well, what does that entail?
You don't tell someone they're dumped. You just kind of back away from them.
That's
slowly.
Ghosting, right?
It's not ghosting. It's like,
I guess ghosting is completely not any more contact.
Our rep would call it being agreeable, which is what I often do when I'm on the phone, when I'm on a phone call. I'm agreeable.
Yes, that's right.
Really, yes.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, great. Wonderful. Fantastic. Have no intention of doing that. Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. That's the worst thing in the world. Thanks. Great. Wonderful. How would you try and fuck me like that? Oh, wonderful. Great. You know, you'd be agreeable, but what you really intend to do is something completely different. And this is happening to a lot of people because they're talking about it on the internet, how some people just don't tell them straight on, hey, I don't want to see you anymore.
Yeah, they're just busy.
They're just busy. Mm. They slowly back away from you. Maybe they're a little standoffish when you notice it's
a tough thing.
It's a cruel thing to do.
Well, I think just breaking up in general is tough. So, you know, you have to figure out a way that you can survive it. So if that's the way that's going.
Yeah. But I think that you're right about this. The best policy is to find someone, at least a phone call, at the very least a phone call.
And again, it's dependent on many factors. How long have you been dating? How intense was it? What, you know?
How many times have you broken up previously? Because that can make it a lot easier, too.
Yeah.
Because I've been in a few relationships where I broke up 30 times, right? And so the last time was just like the other 29 times. It was just like, whatever, I guess we're breaking up. But then we never got back together. So,
thank God.
Yeah, oh my God.
Small miracles.
Well, thank God for small miracles.
Yes.
Thank God for small favors. Yes. Because that was, I mean, we all have it. We all have that one relationship that really took us for a ride.
Sure.
This one just happened to last a whole lot longer than it should have. And it was a whole lot worse than most people's. It was pretty bad. But I think you should at least get on the phone and have the conversation. But more appropriate would be to do it face to face.
In person.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is a really hard thing
to
do.
So you got to have courage.
You do have to have courage. Mm-hmm. And that's why I prefer the text message breakup.
Oh, no. That's bad.
But I did it twice. Well, the girl was in New York and she wouldn't listen to reason. Like anytime I got her on the phone, it was just like she was talking circles around me because I think she knew it was coming, you know? And so she would just keep asking about the next thing and the next thing and next thing. Anytime I was like, well, so she would be like, oh, it's a beautiful day here in New York. Let me buy you some tickets to come up here and see me. And I'd be like, well, I don't know if I have any time. So eventually.
I'm washing my hair. Yeah, I'm washing my hair. Even though I have none.
So eventually I just had to write a long text message that said, hey, I've been trying to tell you this for a couple of weeks, but, you know, we're no longer together. I'm sleeping with your sister.
It's tough.
Sister wives, baby. Sister wives. Yeah, don't quiet dump somebody. Tell them face-to-face, in person, head-on, straight-on, what your intentions are. Take it from a couple of old geezer. This is the best way to do it because it leaves no uncertainty about where the two of you stand.
True.
Speaking of uncertainty about where you stand, I was trolling on the internet.
As you do.
As I do like to do.
TCB.
Hey you, guess you. I hate to interrupt all the fun, but I just want to remind you that tcbpodcast.com is where you find all the audio and the video, plus you can contact us to get your free 21 EPM sticker. Just go to tcbpodcast.com, hit the contact us button, tell us you want a sticker, drop us your address, and off we go. Plus, you can write to us at 855-TCB-8383. That's 1-855-TCB-8383. For all of our international listeners, we'll pick up the toll. Go ahead and text us. If you have comments, questions, concerns, content ideas, we're taking them all at 855-TCB-8383. If you want to view the commercial break in a whole new light, go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak to see the fully edited episodes. You'll love it or your money back, I promise. While you're at it, hit us up on Instagram at The Commercial Break and TCB Live on TikTok. So let's take a minute to hear from our sponsors and then we'll be back to this episode of The Commercial Break. Hey, TCB Universe, I wanted to let you know that Hatch sponsors this episode. You know I have 12 to 15 children. It seems like there's a new one every single year. And there's two words that fill me with more dread than any other. Sleep training. We've learned a few things about putting a child to bed, and we've learned that routine is most important. But even with a great routine, sometimes you need a little help, and that's why Astrid and I use Hatch. The new and improved second generation Hatch Rest makes sleep better and more magical for the entire family. This all-in-one
One Hatch Rest is a smart sleep device with a sound machine and nightlight that grows with your child. Even the youngest of our brood is getting a hatch as part of their bedtime routine. Babies love the continuous sound of white noise and lullabies for soothing and comfortable sleep environment, and toddlers and big kids sleep independently with colors and sound cues. We've been using Hatch and their easy-to-use application to change bedtime from a nightmare to a good night. And right now, Hatch is offering up to 15% off of your purchase of a Hatch Rest and free shipping at hatch.co/TCB. That's hatch.co/TCB. So if you're ready for improved sleep with your children and yourself, go to hatch.co/TCB to get up to 15% off and free shipping. One more time, that's hatch.co/TCB. This is a product that we use, we're falling in love with it, and the kids know it's time to go night-night when they see the nightlight of Hatch. Thanks, Hatch, for becoming a sponsor of The Commercial Break. And many, many months ago, we came upon a friend. His name is Paul Cruz from the Paul Cruz Sales Agency. He is probably the most muddle-mouthed salesperson I've ever met in my entire life. Super nice guy, super nice guy. And he has the Paul Cruz Sales Agency, and he is just as confusing as you could possibly be. He's supposedly a sales trainer, but we haven't found any methodology that he's teaching that makes a lot of sense.
No, and one we were reviewing, it was like a circle.
The tripod of sales. The tripod of sales.
And there were circles here and circles there, and yeah.
And he didn't even know where the circles led. He just kept drawing circles. He was like, step one, step two, step B, step B12. It was really bad. Yeah. So I thought we'd check in on Paul, who's a pretty consistent creator of content.
We'd
check in on him, see how he's doing, and let's get the straight shit on the straight line sales method, which is what he's teaching us here.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready.
Here we go. Paul Cruz.
Oh.
And the Paul Cruz sales agency.
He's up his game with his look.
Yeah, I would say he
looks... I think
looks,
he's been getting Frankie B.
Frankie B or Grant Cardone. Yeah. He looks a little Grant Cardone-ish there. I didn't know that Grant Cardone was a Scientologist. Did you know that?
Mm.
Grant Cardone is a Scientologist. Mm. Weirdos.
Are you struggling generating sales on social media? Is your business stagnant in cash flow? Here's the exciting news. We here at the Paul Cruz Sales Agency have solutions to these problems. Simply visit our website at...
You got to imagine that whoever has voicing this, narrating this, it's probably some cute little assistant working in his office.
Yes, and you know he means business when he has his hat on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ball cap.
Yeah, nothing says serious sales
Let me get
business.
Down.
That's right.
Into business.
Remember when we were like stuck in those sales training rooms for days and days on end, and they were like...
The cap.
It was the middle of the summer, they'd turn up the heat, and somebody would come in with a baseball cap. Sales, sales, sales!
You're getting down to it.
No lunch until you sail.
Sales happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to do today, we're going to recap what we went over yesterday, but I'm going to take a little bit more slow so you could ask me questions and we could go into the psychology to that.
So Paul is currently standing in a broom closet.
With a whiteboard.
With a whiteboard. And he's doing a sales training to... One person.
Cut to one person.
One person stuck in a corner on the table. And he's like, you could ask me questions. Really? It's that kind of intimate setting? I thought I was at Red Rocks at a Fish concert.
I think you have a better understanding now than you did at the end of the day yesterday. Because what I did is I taught you how to use the vehicle first. Just drive the vehicle. Now I started telling you yesterday the psychology behind it. If I were to tell you the psychology behind it and then you try to script, you will be worrying more about the psychology than the actual process. So I had to do that. So it actually is going to work.
Huh? Huh? That would be me. I'd be like, huh? What? I'm getting a job at McDonald's.
Huh? What? Ice cream.
Always out of that fucking ice cream, McDonald's.
To your advantage. Okay, so we're going to go over several things. We're going to go over the straight line method, the businesses, what we have in common, and then this actual sale. Okay, so now
that makes perfect sense to me. I'm ready, Paul.
The straight line method.
The straight line method.
The
which that's how Astrid and I got 12 kids, the straight line method.
The businesses and then the sale. Okay.
And then the sale. Okay, let's see if we can
trying
follow,
to follow it.
Yeah, we'll see.
We call this the straight line method. Okay? Now, I'm not the creator of straight line method. Jordan Belfort is. He taught me that. But I added my...
Jordan Belfort? The Wolf of Wall Street? Taught Paul Cruz the straight line method? Wow, how the mighty have fallen. When is Jordan Belfort hanging out with Paul Cruz? Really?
Yeah, they're running tight circles.
Well, I got a little bit less respect for Paul than I did before.
Own style to it, okay? Now, the straight line method is like a track, right? What happens when a track gets off the track? It derails? What happens?
How exactly can a track get off the track?
When a track gets off the track, when you've gone sideways.
That's right, Chrissy. When a table stops being a table, it's no longer a table. I just got to tell you that. Can I point out that there is a record player in the background? Do you see that?
Yes, an old one.
An old record player and like a PV amplifier?
Yeah.
What is he doing? I guess that's the Friday sales party.
He's in the storage room. That's what's happening.
He's at the local U-Haul self-storage.
Because you get into an accident, right? So the straight line method in a script is going from A to Z, from the opening, right?
And then there's 26 things you have to do.
Then there's an additional 37 steps. On the track to make sure you don't get off the track. You don't want the track to get off itself, if you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? That's not a straight line method. That's an off-track method, which is a different one that Jordan taught me when we were doing a little nose hosing the other night.
To the close of the deal, right? Makes sense.
Wow, his handwriting is as good as mine. It says opon, booty, and clobe.
I know. What's the middle again?
Booty? Buddy?
Body?
Body?
I don't know.
Duddy? Duty? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Let's go back so that we know exactly what Paul's talking about here.
We got it open.
Sure. Open. Opon. He spelled it with two O's.
Opening, right? To the body?
Body.
Oh, the body.
To the close of the deal.
Look at my body.
Look at my body. By the way, new idea. I'll talk about it later. New idea. Merch. And Astrid and I were thinking about a couple t-shirt ideas. Look at my body is one of them. And she's like, I don't think anybody will buy that one. I was like, are you kidding me? The real fans will. Yeah.
Makes sense? Okay. Now, as I mentioned to you, the opening sets the tone, right? You have to earn respect. You have to earn trust.
His writing makes no sense.
His writing looks like...
Ray Rankin's Rao.
I know. Ray Rankin's Rao, Opon Booty Clobe. I think the only thing I can read on that is the A and the Z. Yeah. I mean, that's it. The track looks like a street, really.
It does.
Not necessarily a track. Yeah, he's got terrible handwriting, but I am not one to talk because...
Oh, but if he's training...
Yeah, I guess.
He should be more clear.
True. There's only one guy in the room, though. I mean, I guess the guy could ask a follow-up question or two.
Earn value. All within the first 3 seconds. And you see how I did it this morning. Boom, 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 boom. Whether you're cold calling on regular cold calling like we're doing, or on social media, on your followers, describe, it doesn't matter. The principle still applies. So the opening, you set the tone for the relationship.
How do you cold call on social media?
I slide into the DM.
Thank God I'm not a salesperson in 2023.
I know. I was thinking the same thing.
Well, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Brian has brought you along with him in this little tree of trust, this little bubble we call the commercial break. Don't worry, Chris. It'll burst pretty soon.
The last three deals we got. We had three appointments. We got three deals. Why? We set the tone for how the deal was going to go. They did it. You did. Right? And we got the deal, so we're 3 for 3. Is that always going to happen? No, but I know we're going to have a high...
Can I point out that in one of the last ones that we reviewed, his quote-unquote deals were telling the guy, don't worry about his signature, just tell me you're going to do it.
Yeah.
We don't need you to actually sign anything.
That's right.
Don't worry about it. We'll get that signature later.
Yeah, I don't need your signature on the actual contract. Yes. Just tell me that I can tell my boss that you told me that it's a pretty good possibility I may or may not at some point look at the contract and decide to do it. Deal closed.
Deal closed.
Woo! Feeling good.
Hit the gong.
I got that feeling down in my bones that Paul Cruise is just selling malt, but what was he selling? Lawn mows. He was selling lawn mowing.
Oh, yeah. He was landscaping.
Landscaping. Mm-hmm. Hey. Whatever you're selling. Like selling advertising to a local dry cleaner is any better.
I know.
That because we already set the tone for how things are going to go, and it works, right? So we set the tone how the relationship is. Then you earn respect. They got to know they respect you, right?
All in 3 seconds? He said you got to do this in 3 seconds.
Yeah, boom. Boom,
respect
boom,
me!
Boom.
Ring, ring. Hello?
Yeah, it's me, Puckers. Respect me now! I got 2-for-1 on lawnmowers. You want one?
Who is this?
Paul Cruz, do you respect me?
No, I don't.
Can you tell me you might respect me in some future day?
Sure.
Great, I just made it close. I'll follow up with you in a week.
Okay. Close another one, boss. Respect and value. I got both of those in the first 3 seconds.
They gotta trust you, because if they don't trust you, they're not even gonna let you talk. And trust is hard to earn, but it's easy to lose. No matter what it is, think about it. When, you know, the most valuable thing we can have with a human being is to trust them, knowing that, hey, you know what? You trust me with your office. You gave me the key yesterday. To me, I honor that. I treasure that.
I honor that. So I brought all of my stuff that I did have in the storage facility.
You gave me the key. Yeah,
you gave me the key. And I put all my stuff in here.
Try and kick me out.
I respect that. You're adding value for me.
Because when you know I won't do you wrong, and I won't do wrong. But to me, that's the ultimate. That's a trust. But it's easy to lose, too. Right? So I take that. And that's important to me. Other than that, nothing else matters. Because nobody trusts me. What's the point? Okay? Then the value.
Well, the point is to sell. I don't think the point is to get people to trust you. Who gives a shit? When's the last time you trust a sales guy? I mean, come on. A pure sales guy wasn't your friend? I go to the car dealership to buy a car a number of years ago. And every Mother's Day, Christmas, birthday, random 4th of July, this guy will call, ask how the family's doing, send me follow-up cards and all that other stuff. I'm not sure I trust the guy, but I'll buy from him again.
Right.
Why? Because he seems like a likable human being who I think...
Reliable.
He's earning He's not earning my trust. He's earning my sale, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to trust somebody, but I mean, would I give the guy $40,000 and tell him to hold it for a week? Yeah. Probably not. I give him $40,000 and tell him to charge me interest on it for the next 72 months. And my current credit rating, that's 21.7% interest. Annualized.
You gotta show value. Stop bringing them money. Is money the value or is the people the value? The people, right? So how we do it? We show value, solving problems, and then we give the price. Now the price is usually cheaper in their mind than the value we already showed them.
And I bet this guy sitting here at the sales training, if it's not mandatory company required, it's probably like, I just lost $500. And I have no fucking clue what this guy is talking about.
Yeah.
Like if I showed up to a sales training to be a, first of all, never took one sales training, never cared. But second of all, if I was to go out there and look for sales training and I found Paul Cruz and by some happenstance, spend $500 to get, you know, 3 days of training with this guy, I would be like, hey, Paul, can you do me a favor? Can we split the difference? Will you give me $250 back? I'll take you out for a beer.
Yeah.
You can. Talk
to me. I've been to so many of these sales trainings.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. In my early days in sales, I mean, it was like mandatory. We would take, you know, these whole retreats where we'd have
really?
These. Oh, yeah. These sales. I mean, I've probably been to 5 of these different things. And I've seen Paul before, not Paul himself, but
I wish you had seen Paul. Yeah.
And I mean, you're just sitting there and
listening to gobbledygook.
You're taking some of it in. But in the end, you either kind of naturally have a sales ability or you don't.
The one sales training that I took was Brian Tracy's.
The Brian Tracy
method.
with the 12 tapes, cassette tapes.
Oh, yeah. There's so many.
Yeah, this is so many years ago. And I remember listening to those 12 cassettes while I was drinking Bud Light early in the morning while my wife was at my then wife at the time was at work. I remember I was just hammered by the afternoon. I had only listened to some of it. I kept having to rewind because I get distracted by things. But then I was picking up the phone and cold calling out of the Yellow Pages to try and sell someone the internets. And I just remember how drunk I was doing that. I was so nervous about picking up the phone and calling somebody.
Works. Okay. So the
same thing happened at Clear Channel.
That's what
we all got drunk and cold called people.
And now you transition to the body. What is the body? The body, you're going to increase your value. Increase value.
Listen, I don't want to bring this into the conversation, but would you like to see my penis? I feel it'll increase our trust and value.
Right? You're going to do the storytelling. Forgive my writing. Storytelling, and then 90%.
Storytelling, I can actually read.
Yeah. It's the only word on there that I can read. Forgive my writing. It's the only one we can read. What's the other 35 words on the board? He must have a lazy eye because he keeps on writing to the right. That's how they determined my eyesight was bad when I was a kid. They asked me to write my alphabet on a piece of paper right next to the loose leaf line, the line on the loose leaf paper, and I kept drifting over to the right. And they said, oh, you got astigmatism.
Oh, it's there. Isn't that what we did? Yeah. Right?
Isn't that what we did? Yeah.
What?
Now, transition to the clothes. The clothes is just a win-win relationship. Right?
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense. It's easy as closing.
Just a win-win.
Ring, ring. Hello?
Hi, I'm Paul Kurtz. Respect me. 2-for-1 if you buy now.
No.
It's a win-win relationship.
Let me tell you a story.
Yeah, how do I win?
Let me go back one. Let me tell you a story. I was on my way to the lawn care place this morning, and I tripped and I fell and I stubbed my toe. But I said, you know what? I got to keep going. So you want to buy for me?
Sure, dude. What are you selling? Motivational speaking?
I'm not sure either because I work for 7 different places, but it's a win-win for both of us.
He does. He's always in a different industry.
How do I win in this one?
Well, you get whatever I'm selling.
And what is that?
I'm not sure, but I'll get back to you on that. Can you tell me that at some point in the future, if I determine what exactly I am selling, you may or may not sign my contract?
Sure, dude. Whatever.
Closed. Win-win.
Got another one, boss.
But this is semantics because we're really closing here. That's what we're doing there. Now, why is the straight line method important? Because as I mentioned to you the other day, you're going to get objections typically in the opening.
Erections?
Erections? Did he say ejections?
Ejaculation.
Like nocturnal ejections? You're going to get erections.
The first part.
The first part in the open. That I find to be true, Paul. That I find to be true.
I call this Pluto.
Pluto? Where are we? What are we doing? Are we high? Do we take gummies? Am I fucked up and I just don't know it?
I did. I spiked your water.
Wow. You did? Wow, it's really good shit. Because I'm totally lost now. Totally lost.
The track. How do you get somebody back on the track? If they give you an objection, how do you get them back on the track?
You kidnap them.
You.
That's the one guy in the room.
I wasn't paying attention. I think I just had a stroke. I gotta go, dude.
Whatever you just said.
Yeah, whatever. It's a win-win. That's right.
You storytell?
Yeah. Storytelling. Storytelling, value, relationship, respect, trust. That's right.
If you use the objection and bring it back to
you. There you go. With a rebuttal. Powerful rebuttal, right? So your weapons is the rebuttal. Okay? So with the rebuttal.
So if you go to Pluto, then you come back with a rebuttal. You get back on track. It's so confusing.
It's definitely not a straight line method, I would say.
There is no straight line about this. If you could see this whiteboard, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, there's nothing straight about this.
Yeah, he drew a road.
Yeah,
and put A to Z, and then now has shot off like an octopus, if you will.
That's right. Why do I have a feeling Jordan Belfort took Paul Cruz for his credit card for a ride?
Oh, you bring him back on track.
Oh, sorry. Let me back that up a little bit.
And now they're not working with you. They're over here. I call this Mars.
Oh my God.
Pluto onto the track, back at Mars. You got the Clobe, you got the Booty, and you got the Opon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. What happens is now you got to bring them back on the track. This is the support level. This is the resistance level. You always got to bring them back on the track. And what are the two major problems in the janitorial industry? What are the main things?
In the genitalia industry?
He said the janitorial industry. He's now switched to the janitorial.
Oh, God bless him. God bless him.
Yeah.
Well, was before we started. Before it was what?
It's going through the repetition of the dog and pony show.
Right. Which is what?
Which is the bid and walkthrough.
Right? So we solved that.
Right?
Problem solved.
You sold it. I think the guy in the room is probably better equipped to give us sales training. I don't even know what we're talking about at this point.
Now we don't have to do that. We do a dog and pony show, but first we do the show, and then we give you the dog and pony when we get over there. But the point is we were able
to...
We do the show
first, and then the dog and pony?
We do the dog and pony.
Huh.
You know that dance.
Yeah.
That pony. Come on, ride that pony.
Come on, ride that pony. And doggy. Come on, ride that doggy. Then pony. Then show.
To solve that issue. And that's because of the straight line method. So the straight line method is just a vehicle for you to get from point A to point B. And that includes the storytelling, all of that other stuff.
It includes all of everything else that's on this one.
It includes all 98 words that I've improperly spelled on this whiteboard in bad handwriting. But don't worry. You're on the straight line method. You really can't go wrong unless you went to Pluto or to Mars. Then you got to get back on track by storytelling with trust and closing.
So that's what the straight logical thing.
So Mars represents what is that?
So Mars represents... Even the guy in the room is lost. He's like, so Mars represents what? Where in the universe? And why in the universe? Why do we start talking about the universe?
Another
objection. Yeah.
It's just objection either on the order or system.
Yeah, that's correct. And here may be where they're not with you, so you may need to do something exciting. Or they may give you a stupid objection that has nothing to do.
Look over here.
Yeah.
Can you turn on your FaceTime camera?
Do with that, right? So, for example, we have a janitorial company. I know that.
I keep on thinking he's saying genitalia.
It sounds like it. It sounds like
I'm calling you because I know you have that, but I want to earn it.
Hi, this is Paul Cruz from the Genitalia Agency.
What?
I'm just calling to see if you need any cleaning products for my genitalia. No, I said genitalia. Which kind of cleaning products? Genitalia.
Is it today or the next few months, right? No, come on, man. Don't give me that. Okay? So, now, you always got to keep them there. Here they may be out there. It's easier to bring them from here to here than here to there.
Oh, it's easier to go from Pluto.
Oh, it's easier from Pluto to track.
To go back to the track than Mars
and go back
but
to the
Mars
track.
Isn't Mars closer to the Earth?
I don't even think Pluto's a planet anymore. I think Paul needs to read up on his stuff. Or maybe it is a planet. I don't know. So many people got upset about the dwarf planet. That's right. But how do you go from Pluto? Let's just listen.
Yeah.
Here it may take a little more excitement. Here you just need to beat them down real quick. Boom. I'll be briefing to the point. I know you're busy. Okay, bring them back here. Oh, yeah, but I'm happy with my janitorial company, but well, then I got to bring them up. Because if they're sold on that, then that's a much more sophisticated rebuttal. So that's what the straight line...
Which, I will be showing you 90 more words in the next for that sophisticated rebuttal.
Ma'am, you're on Mars. I got to bring it back. With a sophisticated rebuttal, which I just have to check my whiteboard real quick and I'll get back to you. But if you're in the market for genitalia services, I'm your man.
I meant it is. That makes sense? Okay. So, the script is...
Yeah, no. Your straight line genitalia method is really kind of confusing.
It's built based on this. And if you notice the script, it's go right in right away, transition to the body. And what's the body? You want to know the pricing, discovery, you want to do all that stuff. And what is the closing? You put in the contract together, we go meet with them, and they sign. Now we're going to add to it. We're going to make sure instead of doing the monthly payment, we're going to try to get weekly payments. I want to make sure.
See how easy that was?
Wow.
We get the cash flow every week. Is it standard? No, but who cares? We create the standard.
Is it standard? No, but who gives a shit? We created taking money out of people's pockets for genitalia services.
We're going to do business how we think is best for our relationship, right? Yeah. But it's got to benefit both parties. That's the streamline method. Okay? All right?
Thank you.
No clue what he's talking about. But all right. Paul Cruz's genitalia services sold on a straight line, in case anybody's wondering.
My mind is reeling from that.
How's your genitalia feeling? Because Chrissy, if you want to, I could take you to Mars and bring you back. It's trusting? Let me add some value by clobing you. I clobed two more. I went on the Opon. I got two more to come back from Mars, and now I'm clobing them.
Oh, wow. Paul, man.
Hey, I wanted to tell you something. I wanted to say something on a personal note. Thanks, everyone, for hanging in there while I have had kind of a strained voice for like the last 12 episodes.
Yes.
I actually really did have walking pneumonia, and it's obviously caused strain on my throat and my sinuses. So thank you for putting up. I was just listening to one of the episodes recently, and I was like, wow, my voice sounds ratchet. It sounds awful. So thank you. I know it's a little bit scratchy, irritating, and mucousy, but thank you for putting up with my disgusting throat. I'm on the mend. Day by day, we'll get it better. Don't you worry.
We'll get you back on track.
Thanks, baby. Appreciate it.
It's that straight line method.
Straight line method. All right.
You get off the track.
Get back on.
Something about get off the track and off the track.
Yeah, on the track, off the track, but beside the track. TCBpodcast.com is where you go to find the track. All the audio, all the video, we're right there from one location. The entire catalog. You know how to do it. Go to TCBpodcast.com, hit the contact us button, ask us for a sticker. We'll send you one, send us your physical address. Astrid will put it in the mail, and soon it will be to you. Put it on the back of your car, send us a picture, upload it to social media, tag us. You know how it goes. 1-855-TCB-8383. 1-855-TCB-8383. Toll free from anywhere in the world. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We're taking them all at the phone line. At The Commercial Break on Instagram. TCB Podcast on TikTok. And our favorite, YouTube.com/The Commercial Break. For fully edited episodes the same day they air here. You're going to love it. It adds a whole new flavor to The Commercial Break. Morgan might be funnier than we are. Let's just be honest about it. So go there and check it out. All right, Chrissy. Listen, I think that's all I can do today.
I think so, Brian.
Well, I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
And I'll say best to you.
And best to you.
And I'll say best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Brian with a scratchy throat, Chrissy with a cracking. We'll be back next time. We always say we do, say we must say. Goodbye.
Goodbye.